What a time to live, huh?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. If I ever saw a time when Jesus is coming, it's now. You know, he's just around the corner. Praise the Lord. I mean, it's wicked as wild as the things are getting. I mean, every day. I mean, you know, there for a while, I was kind of looking at some of these things being depressed. And now then I've decided, just like the Lord said in 1 Thessalonians, in all thanks, give thanks. So we know the King is coming. He told us, you know, I mean, the flesh, you got to subdue the flesh. Because the flesh, you know, it gets used to living good, you know, and having a nice car or a truck or whatever, and a nice, comfortable, air-conditioned place or heated place to live in, and plenty to eat, and to go do all the things you want to do. And the flesh gets used to that, doesn't it? It loves it. But unfortunately, a lot of that's changing. You know, like right now, we've got so many people out of work in this country. We've got financial situations. Big companies are going bankrupt, you know, and everything else. And then even when it comes down to the church here, I set the thermostats this morning on 72. Some of you women have come up to me and said, can you turn the air conditioner on? And the next one comes up and says, I got to go to the car to get my coat. I'm freezing to death. I thought, my lands, what am I going to do? So, girls, I hate it, but y'all, some of you are going to be hot, some of you are going to be cold, so, but you're going to have to suffer at 72. I've come to realize I can't please all of you. So, but I'll tell you what you can do. You can speak to your body and say, body, I command you to be comfortable at 72. And see, the Lord said you have power over your body, so you can do this. Now then, if your faith is there, you can do this. You know, I was just looking at this little lady here. She come in here, kissed me on the cheek, told me how much she loved me, and thanked me for healing her twice. I told her, I said, ma'am, I didn't heal you at all. She said, I came here with cancer, and you prayed for me, and you healed me. I said, no, ma'am, Jesus healed you. She said, then I came back with another cancer, and you prayed for me, and it went away. And she's praising God. It's really what she's doing, you know. But she said, he uses you. And I said, Lord, thank you that I am privileged to be used of you for your glory. I am grateful that sometimes I make the King happy. I'm sure if I were to say, Lord, why is there not more power in my ministry? He'd say, go in your office and get that big notepad and I'll start. And I'll tell you why there's not more power in your ministry. Because I'm sure there's a lot of things that I do that really doesn't make him happy. You know, isn't that awful? But that's us. But praise God, we do enough things to make him happy that he does answer some prayers. And I love it. And when we were down at the little Christian school down in Rust, Texas this week, it's a new school. They've only been there 3 years. Yeah, the River of Life Ministries. I knew that little Bailey Waldrop that got healed down at Brenham when we were there the other day. She and her parents were down at Longview giving her testimony in a Baptist church last Sunday. Well, after they heard that and heard that I was the one that got to pray for Bailey and she got instantly healed of this problem, they're giving this testimony in her Baptist church. There's a couple there that the woman, she has brain cancer or brain tumors or whatever it was, and she'd already had surgery, but she wasn't doing a whole lot better. And so by them being there, they drove from Longview to Rust to the school one day. They took off a day's work, and they come up, and immediately Cheryl said, well, you know, you've got unforgiveness toward a woman. And she says, no. She said, it was all on her left side of her brain. And she said, no, I don't have any unforgiveness that I know of toward anyone. And all of a sudden, the Lord gives Cheryl a word of wisdom. A word of knowledge. And he looked at her husband and said, have you ever committed adultery on your wife? He said, yes. Is that when it came? Yes. That's your unforgiveness toward the woman that your husband committed adultery with, and it backfired on you and caused a brain tumor on you because you didn't forgive. You know, if we understood the scriptures, we would never hold a grudge against nobody. It don't matter what they done to me. I'm telling you, there ain't nobody worth me having brain cancers over. You know that? Isn't that awesome? So we prayed for her, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I told that girl, I said, I know you're healed. She said, I know I am too. And with that kind of faith, I told her, I said, come see us sometime, give your praise report. You know, I'm looking forward to it. Praise God, you know, that we serve a God that's awesome, and He's doing things today. Now then, I want us to go to a few places. I want to show you some. The only things you have to be concerned about as a Christian, let's start with Matthew 22, 36 through 40. I want to show you a few things that you need to do and be concerned about as a child of God between now and the time this happens. Let's go to Matthew 22, 36, and let's see. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Now, that ought to be something you and me are asking God today. You know it? What is the most important thing there is, Lord, that you want me to do? Well, let's see what He says. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Would this be a good time to obey Him? In fact, last night, as I've been studying this week and everything, maybe it was this morning, I don't remember what it was, but Dave was in there on a computer, and I walked in, and I was sitting there a minute, and I said, Lord, Dave and I want to tell you this morning one more time how much we love you. And I raised my hand and said, Lord, we love you. Dave raised his hand and said, Lord, we love you. I said, yes, Lord, we want you to know that we love you. Now would be a good time to tell him ever regularly. He said, well, I haven't told my wife in 5 years I love her. You better tell her. God said in His Word, husbands, if you ain't loving your wives and treating them like I, the Lord, would do the church, I ain't going to answer your prayer. So if there's ever a time a man that's a Christian man better get right with his mate and walk on eggshells, it's now. How would you like to lose your life during this whole thing? How would you like to be a disobedient husband? No, not me. Not me. I don't want to die. I want to live till He's ready for me to come home. I do not want to die. I mean, I want to die when He wants me to die. But until then, I want to be obedient to Him, because when I go home, I do not want Him to say, you were disobedient, so you ain't going to get no rewards. Ooh, I don't want to hear that. Do you, brother? No, not at all. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God. With how much? So in other words, if the only time you ever think about Jesus is when you go to church on Sunday, you better make some changes starting today. When you leave here this afternoon on the way home, you might hold up the steering wheel with one hand, hold the other hand up in there and say, Lord, I want you to know how much I love you. And then when you get home, you might say, Lord, I'm going to have something to eat here. I'm going to tell you how much I love you. I'm going to ask you to bless that in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I normally don't do this, but from this day forth, I ain't going to let a bite or drink or water or food come into my mouth. It ain't going to touch my lips unless I've asked you to bless it first. I want to praise you and thank you. I want you to know, Lord, how much I love you. Because if we don't do that, if we're not walking in obedience to His Word, we might be one of those He classifies as wicked. And woo, the wicked get to see some bad things, don't they? I don't want to see those things. Verse 38 and 39. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, now God, I can love you with all my heart. But that woman that lives down the street, Lord, she's mean and I can't love her. What did He tell you to do? Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, but me, you know, good grief, Lord, I don't like the way you made me, and I got a mold here, and you know, and I got a little loose skin under here, and I got bagging eyes, and so, Lord, who could love me? I don't even love myself. He said, oh, okay, if you want to die early, just go ahead and keep confessing that. But I made you like I made you for a purpose. So you better love yourself. Did He tell you to love yourself? Now, you want to get sick and die early? You have no idea how many women that Cheryl and I have seen in the last few years that had breast cancer in the left side, and their problem was they do not love themselves. And it'll bring breast cancer on a woman. When she repents and starts saying, God, I'm sorry, I love myself, We pray for them and they get well. How many times have we seen that? I couldn't even tell you how many times we've seen that. So if God told you to love Him, number one, with all your heart, mind, strength, don't you think that'd be a good thing to do? And then if He says love your neighbor as yourself, don't you think that would be a good place to start? If you want to live, right? If you want to have a good long life, that would be a good place to start, right? In other words, obey the King. When you obey Him, He does great things. Verse 40. Was that the last? No, there's one more verse, wasn't there? Yeah, verse 40. All the other commandments and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So see, we don't have to remember all of those other long, drawn-out commandments, do we? Under the new covenant, we got two. And both of them, you can fulfill them in one word, love. Right? Love, who first? The Lord. And then who next? Your neighbor, and then yourself. Is that hard? He made that so easy. He made that so easy. If we would only do what He says, how blessed we would be. Love. Love. In fact, I think that's the best way to go, don't you? Love. But some people it's not easy to love. Some people's a little tough to love. But He didn't cut you no slack. You love them anyway. But Lord, you don't know what He done to me. He said, I don't care what He done to you. You don't know what you did to me. Woo! When you think about what I did to Him, and while I was a wicked sinner, He gave His Son for me. If that ever soaks in on you, and some people it never does, but when that becomes a revelation to you, you won't ever have a problem forgiving anybody after that. I mean, you just won't. It doesn't matter what they do to you. Just walk in love. And guess what? When you walk in love and obey God, you get to walk in blessing, and you don't have to worry about being sick. You're not going to be sick. You're going to be blessed. And a while ago, a man walked in. He said, I got a friend that's he's depressed terribly. I said, in fact, let's turn to Isaiah 61:3. And I want to see, I told him this answer. I didn't read it to him. But Isaiah 61:3, if somebody is heavily depressed, let's see what it says. Isaiah 61:3. To all who mourn in Israel, He will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of despair. For the Lord planted them like strong and graceful oaks for His own glory. Now let me show you, if you read that from the NLT to the King James, let me show you the difference in those two. Go back to the King James. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Do you see how to get over depression? How do you get over it? It's in that verse. What do? Praise Him. The spirit of praise. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If you begin to come under oppression, depression, the devil throwing that black mantle over your head and dragging you down on the ground, and you're beginning to say, oh, woe is me. Jump up underneath that black garment and start praising God. Throw in your hands and say, Lord, I want to thank You and praise You. You're my King and my Lord. Boy, you start praising Him a few minutes, and I guarantee you it'll be like a bunch of bees underneath that thing. There'll be a beehive under there, and them bees will carry that black mantle, and they can't wait to get away from you. They don't want to be. The demons of hell do not want to be where God is being praised. So if you start praising Him, they go away. Now then, let's go to Deuteronomy 6:5. Deuteronomy 6:5. In other words, for us to be blessed in these days that's coming, these are the answers you need from God's Word to be able to be blessed, to have no oppression or depression, and to be obedient to God. and for Him to bless you regardless of the devastation that's coming. And we're vain on this earth. We're vanity. I mean, you know, we want to be blessed. We want to have nice houses, nice cars, and we don't have no problem. And we want God to show up to be merciful to us. When we do sin, we want Him to forgive us and heal us. And praise God, He's still doing that. You know that? He's still doing that. We get to see lots of people get healed. But why do we get to see lots of people get healed? Just like this little lady right here that said God healed her twice when she came back. Now she said she had another list of things she needed to be healed of. Why does she come back? Because she knows where God's at. He's here. He showed up for her before. And are we grateful out here at this little ministry that He shows up? Yes, we are. We love it when the King shows up because that shows us He's there, right? He's there. He is here today. And He wants to do good things for those that will obey Him and do what He says. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with your soul and with all your might. Does that leave anything out? Verse 4? Okay, let's back up to verse 4 and see what it says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And He is, isn't He? He's absolutely one. Now then, let's go to Deuteronomy 10:12. Go to Deuteronomy 10:12. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. The NLT. We'll go back to the NLT on all this, Dave. The NLT, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires you to fear Him, to live according to His will, to love and worship Him and with all your heart and soul. So if God requires that of Israel, what do you think He requires of the church? The same thing. I mean, there's no difference. He don't have one standard for Israel and another for the church. He demands that we love Him and fear Him. Let me tell you, I don't care what anybody says, I have a real reverent fear of God. If I was to displease the King, you know what He would have to do? If I knew that sin, if I'd read that scripture, sin brings forth death. If I knew I was doing something that didn't please God and I went ahead and did it, you know how stupid I would be? Especially since I know what Hebrews 10:25-26 says. You know, that's a scary one. You know, let's say God tells me to love Him and walk in obedience to His Word, and I say, well, I ain't going to do that. Hebrews 10:26. Let's see what that says. Let's go over there for a minute. There He tells you what you have to do. Fear Him, live according to His will, to love and worship Him. Hebrews 10:26. Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received a full knowledge of the truth, there is no other sacrifice that will cover these sins. Is that scary? You know it's a sin to do something, and you go ahead and do it anyway. You've read where God says, I hate those that lie. Well, but one more little white lie won't hurt anything. No, there's no sacrifice. You go ahead and tell that lie again. Somebody says, that's okay. I'll just repent after I tell it. I'll tell it, and I'll sin, and then I'll repent. He said, that's okay. But there's no sacrifice for that sin left. I will forgive you, but I'm going to give you a spanking for that. You're going to get a spanking. And see, that's what we don't understand. So that's when we come down with something, or we get hit with sickness and pain or whatever. That's just like that man. We had a man up in the north. Cheryl and I made a special trip for a man and his family to the north to teach them faith. I've done this several times in my life. I don't do it for everybody that calls me, you know, but I do it for those that God tells me to go. And so we went up there, and here this man's got brain tumor in the back of his eye. Cancer. Brain cancer in the back of his eye. I'm trying to teach him you have to get rid of sin, and then you have to walk in faith. And he said, I don't understand faith. I don't understand what it is. I said, it's words and acting. That's what faith is. So he's not getting it. We sat down. They said, his wife said, I've got fixed dinner for y'all. Let's sit down and eat. Okay, so we sat down. We have a beautiful meal. We get through the meal. She said, would y'all like a cup of hot tea? And I said, sure. She said, oh, I'd love one too. So she takes the tea bags and put it in our cup, pours water in it out of the same tea kettle, and the tea starts mixing up. And then she said, would y'all like honey in your tea? Cheryl said, oh, yeah, I said, yeah, I do, too. So out of the same honey bottle, she pours a spoonful of honey in each one. We stir it up. Then she said, by the way, would you like some half and half in your tea? Cheryl said, oh, yeah, I love half and half. I said, me, too. So she goes to the refrigerator, gets a brand new deal, opens it, pulls a little tab out, comes over, and pours it in Cheryl's, and it clabbers. I can't believe this. I just bought this yesterday. She said, look. I said, no, this is a test of faith. This is to show you what faith is. She said, I don't understand what you're talking about. He said, I don't understand it either. I said, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to say with my mouth, and I'm going to believe it in my heart. You've used the same tea bag, used the same water, used the same honey, and hers clabbered. I said, you're going to pour it in mine, and I'm going to guarantee you it's going to be smooth as silk. And everybody was sitting there spellbound. What did Mark 11:23 say I could have, Jack? If I can believe with my heart, right? With no doubt. So see, this is what faith is. Saying with your mouth and in guaranteeing God's going to do what he said he's going to do. And King likes that when you put him right there. He likes for you to be a man or a woman of faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so she poured it in, and I stirred it. And it was just as smooth and creamy as you ever saw. And I drank mine. Cheryl said, well, I know God did this, so I'm going to drink mine with a clabber in it. So she said, I know it ain't going to hurt me. And she drank it. She said, I know this was a test, and God did it. And so she drank her hot tea with a clabber in it. I drank mine as smooth as it could be. And I told the man, I said, now, this is what you got to do. We came up here to visit with you, and you have a cancer behind your eye. And I said, I've now found out your cancer behind the eye because you were looking at something you're not supposed to be looking at. And you know what he was looking at on the internet? Pornography. I told him, now, if you will repent and make God a promise you won't never look at that trash again, I said, he'll heal that eye. And he repented right there at the table. He made God a promise, I won't never look at it again. And we prayed for him, and God healed him. He got well. He went back to the doctor. There was no signs of it. It was totally gone. And 6 months later, they called us and said, it's come back. I said, have you been looking at that internet again? He said, but Thurman, I just do it once in a while. I just can't help myself. I said, you know what's going to happen to you? You knew. I showed you it was a sin. I told you it was a sin. And now then you knew it was a sin. What does he say? If we deliberately continue sinning after we have received a full knowledge of the truth, there is no other sacrifice for that sin. Verse 27. Anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death. Is that right? If you refuse to obey Moses' law, you died. Without mercy on the testimony of just two or three witnesses. That's all it took. I'll point out Jack there. I said, Jack, you know you ain't supposed to do this. And he said, okay, Thurman, I turned the book. You showed it to me. And so he goes out and he does whatever I showed him in God's Word he ain't supposed to do. And two men see him do it. And they said, that sin that he committed is worthy of death. There's two of us, and we both saw him do it. What if they both say that he did it, and even although he may have said, I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. But there's two witnesses that said they saw him do it. That his testimony don't carry no weight. On the testimony of two men, he's going to die. That was under the law. Aren't you glad you're under grace? You better be glad you're under grace. I certainly am. But he said, without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Verse 29. Think how much more terrible the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant as if it were common and unholy. That's scary, isn't it? Such people have insulted and enraged the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to His people. For we know the one who said, I will take vengeance. Now, if I say I'm going to take vengeance, you don't have to worry. My vengeance ain't going to be too bad. But if that's God talking there, which it is, if He says, I will take vengeance, can He hurt you? Oh, can He hurt you? I will repay those who deserve it, He also said. The Lord will judge His people. Now, how many of you would like to fall into that category today? Not me. I don't want to fall into that category. Do you? Not at all. So, what do we have to do? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thy neighbor as thyself. And you won't ever fall into that category, right, brother? Never. Now, ain't nobody wants to get judged by God, do we? What happens when the church goes out and does something they know? Just think of the people in the world today that's in church that knows it's a sin to lie. But they lie. And then they wonder why all bad things begin to happen to them. Or especially one of the big sins today that I classify that's so common in a church today that's blatant on television is sin, sex sins. Do you know what? If Paul had written a resume and sent it in to the seminary to be a seminary professor, there ain't no way he'd ever got hired. Do you know that? But you think God was happy with him?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I do too. In fact, didn't the king come to him and say, Paul, I'm going to show you what things you're going to have to suffer for my name's sake. I don't want to hear that, do you? I don't want to have to suffer things for him, do you? But he said, you're going to. If you do what I say, you will be persecuted. So, hey, get used to it. It's going to happen. Hey. Now let's go back to this Deuteronomy 11:1. Actually, let's go back. Yeah, 11:1. Deuteronomy 11:1:1. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. You must love the Lord your God and obey all His requirements, laws, regulations, and commands. Is that what we're supposed to do? That's absolutely what He said. Then let's go to verse 13 in that same chapter, 11:13. If you carefully obey all the commands I'm giving you today, and if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, and if you worship Him, a lot of ifs in there, isn't it? Yeah, but can we do that as a church? Of course we can. It's not difficult. Then He will send the rains in their proper season so you can harvest crops of grain, grapes for wine, and olives for oil. In other words, what determines whether we have something to eat or not? Worship. Obey. You know, that's just like one time, it was so amazing here a few years ago that when I was going to the Baptist church up there, I mean, I told the Baptist church that night after it was over, I stopped them. I said, before we all go home, folks, I said, why don't we pray for rain? Nearly everybody was farmers, you know, not all of them, but a bunch of us that went to that church were farmers and ranchers. Well, I got 100 acres of land here, and I had about 15 or 20 head of cows on it, and I don't like buying food for them whenever all God's got to do is let it rain out here and the grass grows up and they get plenty to eat. So I said, let's pray. I didn't realize the pastor didn't want to pray. He didn't want us to pray. And I thought, what is wrong with him? I said, you know, we need rain. Let's ask God. I mean, I was really bold about it. Finally he said, okay. If y'all want to, y'all can do this. So we did. We prayed. And I prayed, Lord, I need some rain. I need 2 or 3 inches of nice rain on my 100 acres out there so my grass will grow so my cows will have something to eat. And Lord, I want to thank you and praise you for doing it for us. And so we prayed. And we were only there 15 minutes or something, and we went home. It wasn't like it was a big deal. So in about 3 weeks, somebody said, how dry it is. And the preacher from the pulpit said, you know, yeah, Thurman, 3 weeks ago, he wanted us to pray for rain. See, it ain't rained yet. I said, what? I said, what? It hadn't rained. I said, y'all didn't get no rain? I said, within 3 days after we prayed, I got 2.5 inches. I said, my grass is growing like crazy. Y'all didn't get no rain? See, I didn't know they didn't get rain. I thought when it rained here, it rained everywhere. But see, God knew who was praying and asking in faith, didn't he? He sent me rain. Did he say if I obey him, he'll send me rain? Absolutely. When I ask, he does. Then let's see what verse 15 and 16 says. He will give you lush pasture land for your cattle. Is that good, Jack? When you got 200 or 300 mother cows out there, you need some lush pasture land for them babies to eat, right? Because they can eat a lot of cow, a lot of feed. He said, you yourselves will have plenty to eat, but do not let your heart turn away from the Lord to worship other gods. Now, boy, that's easy to do. You can get hooked up on that television, you know, instead of serving and worshiping God. You can get hooked up on that television. You need to throw that thing away. 17 and 18. If you get hooked on other gods, the Lord's anger will burn against you. He will shut up the sky and hold back the rain, and your harvest will fail. Then you will quickly die in that good land the Lord is now giving you. So commit yourselves completely to these words of mine. Tie them to your hands as a reminder and wear them on your forehead. Next couple of verses. Teach them to your children. I don't know a handful of men in the church that are teaching these things to their kids. They're not reading the Word to their children. Now, very few men do this. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're away on a journey, when you're lying down and when you're getting up again. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. You think this might be important for your children? I mean, God just tell you to do it one way, did He? I mean, talk about it all the time. There's two things we don't talk about in this family. Politics and religion. Have you ever heard a Christian man say that? I have. How sad it is that we don't do what God says. He should be on our lips, on our heart. We should be praising Him, worshiping Him. You shouldn't come in contact with any human being more than a few minutes and you don't find out, are they a Christian? Are you a believer in Jesus? And if they're not, tell them about Him. That's what God sent you to do. That's your goal as a Christian, is to make disciples. That's not just for the pastor. That's for the believers. And most of us were like I was for the first 25 years of my life. I never led a single person to Christ for 25 years. I can look back at that and think, oh man, how ashamed of myself I am for that. Verse 21 and 22. So that as long as the sky remains above the earth, you and your children may flourish in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. I love it when me and my children and grandchildren get to flourish. Don't you? All we got to do is obey. Be careful to obey all the commands I give you. Not part of them. All of them. Show love to the Lord your God by walking in His ways and clinging to Him. Verse 23 and 24. Then the Lord will drive out all the nations in your land, though they are much greater and stronger than you. Wherever you set your feet, the land will be yours. Your frontiers will stretch from the wilderness in the south to Lebanon in the north, and from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. All that land He just laid out is supposed to be God's chosen land for His Jews. Next two verses. No one else will be able to stand against you, for the Lord your God will send fear and dread ahead of you, as He promised you, wherever you go in the whole land. Today I am giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. 27:28. You will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, or you will receive a curse if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn from His way by worshiping foreign gods. Okay, that's it. Now let's go. I want to hit this Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 18. I want to hit that before we quit today. This is an awesome scripture, I think, it really shows us how we're tested. Deuteronomy 13. We'll hit these 18 verses and we'll quit. Suppose there are prophets among you. Now listen to this. This could be for the church, just as good as it was for them. Suppose there are prophets among you, or those who have dreams about the future, and they promise you signs and miracles. Do we have those today? Oh yeah, we got these guys. They're out here. Usually if it's signs and miracles follow them, they got to be from God. Oh, nobody can do things but God. Is that true? Sure, that's true. God can do miracles. He is the only one that can do miracles. He has to release any miracle or any healing or it don't happen. He's in control. But let's see what he says there. He says, and they have dreams about the future and they promise you signs or miracles. And the predicted signs or miracles take place. Meditate on this a minute. If the prophets then say, come, let us worship the gods of foreign nations. Now, wait a minute. This guy promised you that if you'd come down to my church and I pray over you, God would do a miracle for you. And you come down and you get your miracle. And then he says, see there, you got healed and this lady got healed and I prayed over this woman's broken leg and it got healed. So you know I must be from God, right? But let me tell you, there's more than one way to heaven. There's another one, and his name is Allah. They say, well, he must be from God. Look at the miracles he done. And so we believe him and go off over here. Let's see what God says about this. Let's see what verse 3 and 4 says. Do not listen to them. The Lord your God is testing you. What? Is that scary? The Lord your God. Who sent these guys? God sent these guys. Why did he send them? To test you. The Lord your God is testing you to see if you love him with all your heart and soul. In other words, if you love him with all your heart and soul, it don't make no difference what anybody tells you. You're going to be ingrained in. There's one God, and his name is Jehovah. And his son is Jesus. I don't care what you tell me. I don't care if you've done such awesome signs and miracles and wonders. I don't care if you call down fire from heaven and it hit right there. And you said, I'm fixing to call down heaven. It's going to come right through that building, hit that floor right there and burn a 1 foot square right there and ain't even going to put a hole in the ceiling. And it happens. And then you tell me, I say, how'd you do that? Oh, that was by my God Allah that I did that. You need to serve Allah. I ain't going with you, Buster. Even with a sign and a miracle and a wonder like that, I ain't going because I've read the book. There's only one God, isn't there, sir? And his name's Jesus. Is that right? If that guy don't give God the Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit for credit for what he done, you better stay away from him because what is God doing? He's testing you to see how much you know and are you going to obey him or are you going to go the other way? And so, there's one thing you and I better do. If we want to make it through this time that's coming upon us right now, this is what's wrong with the church right now. We have been tested too many times and we failed our test. Now, when I think about these men that have these mega churches and they will not confess that Jesus is the only way to heaven, I know they have been tested by God and they failed their test. I wouldn't want to be one of them, would you? I would not want to be the pastor of a 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 church, and I don't care what I've told them, but if it hadn't been according to the Word of God, and then one day God says, okay, it's time for you to come out, and I kill you and bring you home, I would not want to stand before the King knowing I had not done what he said. I'd rather have no church. I'd rather just be me and him as long as I obeyed him. Hadn't you, brother? Yeah. I ain't going there. Serve only the Lord your God because he has tested you to see if you love Him with all your heart and your soul. Serve only the Lord your God and fear Him alone. Obey His commands, listen to His voice, and cling to Him. Is this good advice? If you want to walk in divine health, you want to please the King, everything we've talked about today, is for when it comes to love, you have to do this. It's not an option, is it? No. If you want to be blessed. Now, if you want to be sick and die and all this stuff and have all kinds of sickness and disease and everything, just go ahead and do what you want to do. Because it'll sure kill you prematurely. You cannot walk in disobedience to God's Word and walk in divine health. It just will not work. Sooner or later, it's going to catch up to you. Somebody said, well, I've been sick in 10 years. And I hadn't served God. It's going to catch up with you sooner or later. I can assure you. It will. Now, I don't know about you, but if I got to walk in divine health all my life and I didn't please the King and I died and went to heaven, and He said, and the outer darkness was weeping and gnashing of teeth, would that be worth it? Not hardly. I'd hate for Him to say, I never knew you. He said, but Lord, I wasn't sick. Now, for over 40 years and I wasn't sick. He said, yeah, I know, but you never knew me. You never knew me. Lord, I even done signs and miracles and wonders in your name. He said, I know, but I still didn't know you. Everything you did was unauthorized by me. Would you want to be one of those? No, sir. Me neither. I know you're just like me. When you get home one day, you want to see the King with his open arms out with a smile on his face. Say, come over here, Joseph. Come over here, son. Let me just hold on to you a minute. You've done a good job for me while you're down there on earth. Is that what you want to hear? That's what I want to hear. So whether we lose our life with what's going to come on in the future or whether we get to live through it, if we love Him and worship Him and praise Him, it really don't make any difference, does it? Because when we die, and how many of us know that someday we're going to die anyway? Someday you got to die. So if the world goes nuts and we happen to be one of those that gets killed in the process, hey, die going down screaming, I love you, Lord. We're in a very exciting time in history right now. I mean, very exciting. You can either make this depressed, or you can say, glory to God, Jesus is coming, and He's coming soon. Now, that's the attitude that we should live in as Christians, right? And when we praise Him and worship Him, and then, you know, something crazy happens, you're at work, and they said, oh, that guy over there, he's nuts. You know, every time we talk about all the bad things that happened, all he does is, praise God, Jesus is coming soon. And then one of them gets hurt real bad and an arm split open. And I got so tickled when we were down at that little school, that little Bible college this week. I was teaching down there every day, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It was open to the public, so we had some outside people come. There was a lady there that when we were talking about some of these miraculous things, she was telling us how she got saved at 13. And then she said her first demonstration of God's mighty power was a friend of theirs. One day she was at a home, and somebody, I don't know how old she was when this happened, but she said a lady went to do something, and she hit an aquarium and broke it and run her arm in there and ripped about a 6-inch glass, just ripped her arm open. Blood was just gushing. Said she screamed and told the man, her husband, said, we got to take her to the doctor. And so the husband looked and said, oh my gosh, we do have to take her to the doctor, but I'm all dirty. I got to take a shower right quick before we take her to the doctor. And she said, boy, she's bleeding. Who cares what you look like or smell like? He said, no, I have to take a shower before we take her to the doctor. Now, I thought, this is crazy. But who was moving on his heart? God. What for? Because he knew if he moved on his heart and got him in a shower, this little woman that was his daughter, she would say, okay, God, this woman's going to bleed this, so I'm going to ask you to do something supernatural. Now, see, if they'd been on the way to the doctor, wouldn't have happened. But now then that he's in the shower, this little girl's pleading with God, God, please heal this arm. And she said, as God is my witness, I watched that big cut come back together and seal up and didn't even leave a scar. So she said, when the man got through the shower, he came in and said, okay, I'm ready to take her to the doctor. What's wrong? He said, nothing. He said, but her arm was ripped open. She said, yeah, I know, but I prayed. And God healed it. Now see, God was in behind that, wasn't he? Because if we had went in panic mode like they all were, you get cut open. Who thinks about praying? You know, I think of the times in life where even myself, I get in a panic mode and do something. And then, of course, Dave walks up and he said, well, my pastor would say, have you prayed about this yet? And I haven't. Now, is that the way we work? Of course. But when we stop and pray, then what's impossible? Nothing. That's absolutely right. And that little woman prayed for that woman and watched that woman's arm grow back together and heal up without a mark. I thought, what an awesome testimony. See, will God put you to the test? Yes, he will. We saw in the scripture today where he put us to the test, didn't he? He said, don't fall to that. Of course, you know what he said on down in the scripture? We didn't cover this, but a little further down, he said, now those prophets that I moved on to lie to you, and since they did what I told them to do, and I moved on their heart, and they lied to you, and they led you astray, you are to kill those prophets. Isn't that scary? Who's in control of everything that's going on around here? Do we understand him? Not for sure. A whole lot of the time, I don't understand him. But does he know what he's doing? He says, if you kill them, it will rid evil from among you. And next time I send someone to do this, they will not believe them. They will worship me. What does God want from us? Worship and praise and love. That doesn't seem too difficult, does it? And when we do that under the new covenant, this is a beautiful part. He says, if you send me a woman who's got cancer on her mouth and I pray for her, I'll heal her. And he does, doesn't he? And he did, didn't he? See, now is that wonderful? If we obey him, does he do what he promised? But he didn't cut you much slack. You better make sure it's him. And you always confess his name and no other God, only Jesus. Is there any other besides him? No other besides him. Read only the Word of God. Study only the Bible. Don't read nobody's book, nobody else's book about another God, because there ain't another God. Only Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you for this beautiful day. Your beautiful Word. All these wonderful stories you put in your Word. So we learn a little bit about how you work. And Lord, we learn how to do things that makes you happy and not unhappy. Because Lord, you promise us if we'll hide your Word in our heart and obey it, you'll satisfy us with a long, healthy, good life. And our children. And that's what we want, Father. So Lord, I thank you and praise you for doing that for us. And Lord, as the times come along now, let us get into a mode of worship and praise, knowing this is a time of trials and tests that's coming, but it's going to bring in the Messiah. And then we're going to get to reign and rule with him forever. Not just for 1,000 years, but forever. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for what you're doing. Lord, you're such a mighty God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Lord, as we pray for people today, as they come forth, those that need to make some kind of a decision or need to be prayed for healing or whatever, as myself and Cheryl or Eldon and Nancy or Sharon or Rosemary or Dave, whoever's praying for them, Lord, we ask you to meet the need of everyone that comes forward for prayer. Thank you, Father, for being our mighty God and being in this church and to answer so many of our prayers for the people that come here. We are so grateful that we get this all done in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and by no other God, only Jesus. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we worship you, and we thank you for the things you're going to do here this evening. And we worship you for all the things you've done in the past. And thank you, Lord, for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen.